Welcome to this Innovation Forum podcast. I'm Ian Welsh. In the run-up to the Sustainable Apparel and Textiles Conference on the 27th to 29th of April, Innovation Forum recently hosted a workshop into the roadmap to regenerative apparel. To introduce the workshop, Innovation Forum's Toby Webb spoke with Jeff Catch, Chief Impact Officer at the Rodale Institute. We join them just as they are discussing what regenerative actually means.
Let's talk about the transition or the sort of parallels with organic. I see your T-shirt says 100% organically dope. Surely it should be saying 100% regeneratively dope. How has organic and regenerative worked together? And is one an evolution from the other? Because as we were just saying before we started, for many people, organic, wonderful though it is, was often a list of things that you didn't do. And regenerative seems to be a much more proactive paradigm. So just talk a little bit, Jeff, about how those two work together.
Sure. They're absolutely congruent, first of all. I want to be very clear at the outset here that Rodale Institute is in no way abandoning the word organic. It's part of our history. It's part of our future. And in order for a brand to be regenerative and organic, the brand must first be certified organic under an accredited certification process. You know, we believe that organic is the future and that farming systems need to be without synthetic pesticides and herbicides. But Rodale has observed over the last several years as more and more big food companies and big textile brands move into the organic space, we've experienced and borne witness to sort of a watering down of that standard. You know, as these big global food companies put pressure on policymakers, we've seen the standard become a little bit compromised. And in addition to that, because the organic standard is housed here in America anyway, under the USDA, we've lost our ability to fundamentally drive the future of that standard. So we launched the regenerative organic standard because the organic standard in and of itself doesn't take into account soil health. It does not take into account animal welfare. How are animals in these farming systems being treated? And thirdly, it does not take into account human labor. Are people that are in these farming systems being paid fair wages? Are they being given access to healthcare? Are inclusion and diversity issues being adhered to? So that was really the genesis or the origins of Rodale's reason for launching the regenerative organic standard. We wanted to create the highest bar standard in agricultural production. And so that's what set us on the path that we're on today.
So just to be clear then, Jeff, regenerative is not just about soil, because for some people it is. It should be.
Yeah, well, quite a paradox. And that's right. And that's our concern, is there's a lot of people using the word regenerative today. And much like the word sustainability was being used over the decades, there's many, many brands that are trying to co-opt the word regenerative. And that's very concerning to us, because in many cases, people will use the word regenerative agriculture, but yet still promote the use of synthetic pesticides and herbicides in certain cases. And so we felt it very critical to create an actual standard around the word regenerative.
So what would you say to those who say that it's simply reinventing the wheel on sustainable agriculture, and that we've spent 30 years codifying standards for sustainable ag, and along comes regenerative, pulls the rug from under us, and yet apart from the ROC, it's not really a standardized agreed paradigm, so therefore it's got this potential for greenwash that you mentioned?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think that potential does certainly exist. At Rodale Institute, we see this as a continuum. So there's conventional agriculture over here, where farmers continue to perpetuate an industrial system, often using monocrops, lots of synthetic inputs, heavy tillage. And then if you move a little bit beyond on that spectrum, you come to the word regenerative, where we're beginning to see farmers embrace practices like reducing their tillage, using cover crops and more complex crop rotations. If you move a little further beyond on that spectrum, you come to organic. To Rodale, we believe that the organic approach is really where we need to all be heading at this point in time. And if you go furthest to that spectrum, regenerative organic, again, would be the highest bar standard.
And with regenerative organic, just to be clear again, you're advocating no-till practices, because that's one of the big criticisms of organic, isn't it? You have farmers not using chemicals, but still tilling the soil, causing topsoil erosion, oxidation, and so on.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, got it. Right, that's the 101 done. Very clear. Thank you, Jeff. So how does this apply to the apparel sector? Is it just about cotton? Where do you want to start with this?
Absolutely not just about cotton. I think if you go back to Bob Rodale's original vision or idea around this word regenerative, I think it goes beyond even, we can look beyond even agriculture. If we look at regeneration as a whole, how are we reducing our waste? How are we building apparel that lasts and stays out of landfills? How are we creating apparel out of materials that are regenerative? And so certainly in agriculture, there's a huge component to how we're going to impact the apparel, the textile industry, using certainly beginning to build a regenerative and organic, beginning to build a regenerative and organic cotton supply chain right here in the United States is paramount. It's something that Rodale is working on. We now have a campus out in Ventura, California, and that team of scientists that are direct Rodale employees are working with partners in the apparel industry to actually build a regenerative organic cotton supply chain. We're going to grow cotton right here in the state of California. Beyond that, we're looking very favorably at hemp. Rodale Institute began some very complex industrial hemp trials probably 6 years ago. The moment that we were legally allowed to begin those trials here in the United States under some new legislation, we've begun studying hemp, and we feel very bullish about this particular fiber and its ability to sequester carbon, its ability to regenerate soils and heal soils, to act as a bioremediator. But moreover, it presents an incredible opportunity for the apparel industry to embrace hemp as a regenerative material to use in apparel. And we're seeing some leaders, some brands like Patagonia, like Young Maven, like Tailor Stitch, begin to embrace hemp for fashion. And it's really, really cool.
So apart from hemp and cotton, are there other crops that it can apply to? I mean, I get occasional press releases from the World Bamboo Association or something like that, extolling the virtues of bamboo. And, they make it sound amazing. And yet I don't see it around that much as a textile. I bought some bamboo T-shirts to see what they were like. And they're a wonderful soft material. Is bamboo in the mix here?
I'm sure it certainly is. Yeah. And I'm sure that there's other cropping systems that we haven't even explored yet. But the reality is we need to diversify. In regenerative agriculture, it's all about rotation. We live in a world where we have monocropped our farming systems, our farm land, to a point that soils are not generating, they're not generative. We've degraded the life in the soils because we continuously plant corn and soybeans in many of our farm fields across the United States and across Europe. And so we as consumers play a role in that, in building more regenerative crop rotations. And I think that this presents a very unique opportunity, this moment in history, for our textile industry to become innovative and to think beyond traditional fibers and begin to challenge our farmers towards new and innovative fibers.
So what kind of rotations can we see then? Are we saying that we can rotate cotton and hemp, for example? What would be the sort of classic mix of crops you see at the moment, taking us towards more scale?
Yeah, well, that certainly is going to vary and depend on region to region, on where you're growing. So for example, in tropical agriculture, if you're reliant on things like coconut, what we're seeing is a lot of farmers are beginning to do what's called alley cropping or intercropping, where you're growing crops in between the rows of, say, your palm trees or your fruit trees, where you're maybe grazing livestock. Here in the United States, we're beginning to rotate hemp into the corn, soy, wheat, oat rotation. And now all of a sudden you add hemp and it adds this whole other layer of microbiology to the soil. It sequesters carbon. It's putting nutrients back into the soil. So it really depends region to region, but this is very exciting because as we, as farmers, begin to build more complex crop rotations, the downstream effects of that are massive in terms of cleaning up the water by adding diversity to our landscapes, regenerating soils, and keeping harmful chemicals out of the soil and out of the air. So it's really important.
And with all your experience of organic and the long work Rodale's done, do you see regenerative as having that kind of slight magic bullet effect for consumers, in the sense of, is it something consumers can get behind more than sustainable? Because sustainable, as we discussed earlier, well, your founder hated the term. It's a confusing term that doesn't actually translate into some languages. Russian is a good example. So does regenerative move on that opportunity to engage consumers, or is it too early to tell at the moment?
Well, I think you said something brilliant at the outset of this conversation, where you talked about the word being generative. There's energy bound up in this idea of regeneration, and it's participatory, right? And we often at Rodale Institute talk about the power of the plate. It's a terminology, it's a phrase we use, where we believe that every consumer across this planet plays a role in the future of agriculture simply by what we choose to put on our plate. We vote with our dollar 3 times a day. And then if we carry that over into the apparel industry, we vote with our dollar every time we decide to what clothing brand we decide to purchase. We can redefine supply chains through our own purchasing behavior. And I think there's power in that. And so, yes, I absolutely believe that the regenerative movement is indeed a movement. It has energy behind it. Consumers are engaged in it, and they feel like they are part of this grand symphony that's going on the planet to rebuild it.
You mentioned you've been having conversations with apparel brands. I'm not asking you to name names, but what are those conversations at the moment? You mentioned 3 or 4 companies, which I won't say the names of before we turned on the tape. What sort of questions are they asking? I think that'd be really helpful to give the attendees here a flavor of what the apparel industry wants to know about regenerative.
Yeah, well, I mean, our funder, the whole reason Rodale was able to play a role in launching the regenerative organic certification was because of one apparel brand, which is Patagonia, based here in Ventura, California. You know, their founder, Yvon Chouinard, became very troubled when he began to learn about soil degradation, the impacts of human labor in some of their cotton supply chain, you know, particularly coming out of India. They were sourcing organic cotton, but they were alarmed to learn about some of the, you know, labor practices going on even on those organic cotton plantations. And they really, like, it was incumbent upon them as a brand to take a leadership position and fund this initiative to raise the bar for the entire industry. So, you know, this whole movement really started with one apparel brand, and now it's seeping into many others. And many of them have the same questions you do. So we're fielding all kinds of phone calls on a weekly basis from apparel leaders that are simply asking, what is our role to play? How do we begin to build out this kind of supply chain? You know, what work needs to be done on the research side, which Rodale, at the heart of who we are, we're a research organization. And if we're going to redefine a supply chain, we need farmers to be empowered and equipped with the knowledge to begin to embrace these regenerative systems. So I think that at this moment, brands are just starting to ask a lot of questions. And in some cases, there's apparel brands that are actually going to have ROC, or regenerative organic certified, products coming out here in short order. So it spans the chasm.
So no conversation about this organic is complete without the scale question. You know, I did a podcast the other day with Larry Pepper of Textile Exchange, who do some fantastic work across this space. And she described organic regenerative cotton as the tip of the spear. And I think, and what I took from that is it's helping inspire the rest of the industry to move on up. Is that how you see it long term? Because the criticism for organic has always been, well, it's really nice for the wealthy middle class consumers who can afford to buy Patagonia and afford to buy organic cotton, but it's not going to be. Every product in the world is not going to be organic. And I assume that might apply to regenerative, given cost and yield challenges and so on, land use. So therefore, is the role of regenerative organic in the scale question to kind of lift the whole industry over time and be the kind of tip of the spear, as Larry calls it, in terms of innovation?
I think that's brilliantly characterized. I think it is indeed the tip of the spear. But Rodale Institute sits on the longest running side-by-side comparison of organic and conventional farming systems in the world. It's a 40-year study called the Farming Systems Trial, which has now been replicated by 5 other large universities. And all of those trials have had similar results. But over 40 years, we've actually proven through science that organic farming systems are equal to conventional farming systems in terms of yields. This is in grain systems in particular, except for in years of extreme drought and rain, where we have these extreme weather events, we've seen organic systems outperform conventional up to 40% in terms of yields, while using 45% less energy, sequestering much more carbon, storing water at deeper depths. And then moreover, we're actually proving, again, scientifically, that organic farming systems are 3 to 6 times more profitable for the farmer than conventional. And so at Rodale Institute, not only do we believe that organic can't feed the world or can feed the world, we ask the question, how could it not? So this is not, I think that mystery around can organic farming truly feed the world has been long demystified. Now, regenerative organic, that's a whole nother set of questions that's going to take time to prove out. But we certainly believe that it was our responsibility to raise the bar and push farmers, push innovation, and push brands towards new heights.
So if it has been demystified, Jeff, let me just challenge you in that for the sake of intellectual repartee here. Why are so many people still saying that organic means lower yield? It's a really nice thing to have if you've got the money, but you know, can't feed the world, clothe the world on it. If that's a myth, why does that myth still exist?
I would say that there's a lot of big interest, a lot of big corporate interest in perpetuating a conventional farming systems. Lots of big ag companies are very interested in perpetuating that myth that organic can't feed the world. I would argue that in 1960 here in the United States, we were spending twice as much as of our GDP on food than we were on healthcare in 1960, just 50 years ago. And today we spend 3 times the amount on healthcare than we do on food. And so, you know, in this country alone, I'm speaking only for the United States, we're actually still paying, we're all buying organic food. We're just paying for it at the doctor's office instead of at the grocery store. And you know, our challenge is that we as a society need to begin to put a higher value on food and fiber. And as we do that, it's a law of supply and demand. We can make organic food affordable to everyone. We can make organic cotton affordable and the norm to everyone. But it's a matter of reordering our priorities, and it's a matter of overcoming big corporate interest. So I think we're well on our way. And I think as consumers become more illuminated and more conscious of the role that they play, we're going to accelerate that change.
Jeff will be one of the 60 plus experts speaking at the Sustainable Apparel and Textiles Conference held online from the 27th to 29th of April. Passes are still available. I hope you can join us then.